All right, take your Bible tonight, if you will, and let's go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 21.
Whoa. It's always good when it does that, right? Get a little feedback. Makes everybody happy. All right, Revelation chapter 21, if you will, in your Bible. It's good to have you tonight. Glad you're here. It was, Brother Dunbar said, it's obvious Ms. Noble was not here. You could tell it the way it looked and the way it sounded. So, just we miss her. And I tell you, I miss her not just because of her piano playing. I just miss her spirit and her attitude and everything about it. It's just a blessing to have her around. So you pray for her and pray she'll do well and get feeling better and be able to be with us Sunday. All right, if you're in Revelation 21, I'm going to begin about verse 5. The Bible said, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Man, he said, "I make all things new." That's a new heaven and a new earth, all right? Hey, folks, sin's been around for 6,000 plus years to work its degradation upon all of creation. And if you hadn't figured it out, folks, the effects of sin are cumulative, all right? They're cumulative. That's why men lived longer. That's one reason I believe men lived longer in the early part of Genesis, because the effect of sin didn't do it. But the effect of sin just gradually increases, and it has now. It's had a long time to work, and things aren't getting better. They're not going to get better. The politicians and some scientists get excited about, can't call it global warming anymore, because no matter what happens, it's now because of climate change, all right? I'll tell you, a lot of that is because of sin.
Amen.
Sin has an effect not just on you and me and in your life and in your heart, but it's got an effect on all of creation. And it's had its time to work that. But the Bible gives us the assurance that God is going to make all things new. All things new. We looked last week at, and we took a look at the Great White Throne Judgment, and if you'll look back in chapter 20 there in verse 11, where the Bible said, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." I told you then when we looked at that, I honestly believe the Great White Throne Judgment is going to take place hanging out in space, and I believe it's going to be there. And that throne will stand there because the heavens and the earth are going to be gone. Flip back, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 3, if you would. And notice what the Scripture says. 2 Peter chapter 3, look, if you will, into verse 12. The Bible says, "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat." We've been using this background for every one of these messages on getting ready to leave, and I did it on purpose, where the earth here is looks like it's kind of being eaten from the bottom up, if you will. There's a reason I believe it's going to be destroyed, but man, we have the great promise, verse 13. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Hey, that is what we're looking forward to, all right? Now, there's a lot of bad news between right now and then, that new heaven and that new earth. There's a lot of bad things to come. We've examined, tried to just look at some of it, hey, there is something to get excited about. So tonight we're going to look at those new things, all right? I want you to notice it's prepared by God. Chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea.
And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The Bible said it's prepared, and the only one that could have prepared it is our God, prepared by God. The Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples in John 14, he said, I go away, and he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, all right? And he said, what is that place? I believe it's a new heaven and the new earth, all right? It is that place, that new Jerusalem that's talked about here in verse 1, all right? And in chapter 21 and chapter 22, the last two chapters in Revelation, the real focus of these chapters is on the New Jerusalem, all right? It is that city, all right, that we're going to look at. And so the Bible puts a focus on it, so we're going to focus on it a little bit. It is the dwelling place, I believe, especially for the bride of Christ, okay? The bride of Christ. And we'll just go ahead and say it. It's going to be a perfect cube. Take a look at chapter 21, verse 16, all right? Chapter 21, verse 16. The Bible says, and the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Now, you may hear somebody say they believe it's going to be in the shape of a pyramid. You know, I personally believe it's going to be a cube, all right? It's going to be a perfect cube. Now, all of you, I know, are exactly familiar with furlongs because y'all are involved in horse racing. I don't think any of y'all are, all right? But so you say, well, how big is that 12,000 furlongs? Well, it's 1,342 miles. Now, get an idea of a city. You know, I get enough of a city when I have to drive from here going east. And have to go through Dallas and, you know, Mesquite and Rockwall and I don't even know what the rest of the cities are out there. There's a string of them. But the truth of the matter is here from at least Rockwall to Weatherford coming west to east or east to west, it is nothing but city all the way. I mean, you never get out of city, okay? But that's not anywhere close to 1,342 miles, all right? And that's how big it is on the side. You say, well, how big is that? Well, it would stretch from Maine to Florida, all right, and from the East Coast all the way to Colorado, right? So if you just kind of picture that, plus it's that high. It is that high, all right? It's four square. You say, well, what's it going to be like? I'm not exactly sure. I don't know how it's going to be layered in there, you know. God's going to have to do a work on me to help me enjoy that place because I don't like cities. I really don't. If I have said for years if the Lord didn't want me to move to a small place, he better never open the door, and he never has. So here I be, all right, because I'd a lot rather be in a smaller place. And, you know, just and not having to fight the traffic. Well, I think the good thing about that city, I don't believe there'll be any traffic, okay? There's not going to be that problem, but it's going to be a place that is prepared by God, and it is going to be a perfect place, all right? But also, I want you to see it's going to be a very unique place, a very unique place. Somebody said, well, never been anything like it. Never has, never will be. And that is the only one there'll ever be. It is a very unique place. Remember we read there in chapter 21 in verse 2? I want you to look. You say, what's unique about it? Here's the first thing. It's a holy place. Verse 2, the Bible said, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It is going to be a holy place. The Bible said it's a holy city. Our God is a holy God. Amen. And he requires holiness out of his people. We have gotten to a day you don't hear that preached very much, but it needs to be emphasized. You and I are to be holy people, all right? We're not just to be, well, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. No, we're to be holy people. People that are set apart for God, living different. Hey, it is absolutely fitting that this place that is so unique
would be a holy place. Now, today you hear people talking about the holy city of Jerusalem. I just want you to know today it's not holy. All right? It's not holy. And you say, well, the Holy Vatican. I just want you to know it's not holy. Okay? There's not a place on this earth today that is holy. It's spelled H-O-L-Y. Okay? Now, you could you can spell it holy as in holes in it, and there's a lot of that, all right? But not a holy place that is like our holy God. But not only that, look at chapter 21 and verse 3. Boy, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. The Bible tells us this is a unique place because our God's going to dwell there, all right? He's going to dwell there. Now, I just want to point it out. That hadn't happened in a long, long time. In the days of Adam and Eve, the Bible said God would come and walk with them in the cool of the day, but it does not say he dwelled in the garden with them, all right? You say, well, preacher, in the book of Exodus, and we have the tabernacle, and God, that was the picture of God in the midst of his people, and it was. But he didn't dwell in their midst then like he's going to in that New Jerusalem, all right? Nobody could look upon the Lord in that day and live. But he's going to be, if you'll let me put it this way, and not trying to be cute or flippant, but he's going to be our next door neighbor, all right? He's going to dwell among us. What a unique place that will be. Not only that, look in chapter 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Oh, what a blessing. We're going to inherit, the saints of God are going to inherit all things in that day. What a wonderful thought that is. Hey, oftentimes here, the saints have very little. The truth matter is most of the riches of this world today are owned by unregenerate and in many cases extremely ungodly people. But in that day, the Bible said the saints will inherit all things. And just one other thing to throw in, there will be no unregenerate sinners. They won't enter. I almost put no sinner will enter there. But I got to thinking, there's going to be one.
Amen.
There's going to be more than one, all right? But the difference is we're not unregenerate. Hey, nobody's going to be there that hadn't been born again, all right? Nobody's going to be there that hasn't been born again. It's a very unique place. Another thing that's unique about it is it's very unique in its cleanliness, a clean place. Earlier this year, back just at the beginning of the summer, end of spring, my wife and I went to New Orleans. You'll never call that a clean place. I don't know if you've ever been to New Orleans. New Orleans is a nasty place. And it's filthy in a lot of ways, all right? It's just nasty. We were in Belize City, nasty. There's a lot of filth, okay? It's just messy place. Well, the great thing about New Jerusalem and the new heaven and the new earth, it's going to be unique because it is going to be a clean place. Look in chapter 21, look at verse 8. The Bible says, it talks about people that are not going to be there. It says the fearful and the unbelieving. There will be no unbelievers there. There will be no unbelievers there. Everyone will be a believer. We get out, we knock on doors, and every now and then you meet somebody that says, well, I'm an atheist. Well, and you look like an intelligent person. But the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Hey, there will be no unregenerate. There will be no unbelievers there. Not only that, you notice the next thing it says, and the abominable, those that are vile. Really, I mean, under this is things really you don't even need to talk about. You don't even need to talk about it. The Bible calls it abominable. They will not be there. Not only that, there are going to be no murderers. No murderers will be there. You think about it. You talk about a clean place, it's going to be a clean place. Now, I could say it'll be a safe place. All right? It'll be a safe place. We're always looking for that in our day and age. That'll be there. All right? It's going to be there. The Bible said there won't be any whoremongers there. Well, we live in a day where people are obsessed with sex. Absolutely obsessed with it. And it is just unreal. The Bible said there'll be no whoremongers there. Not only that, it's going to be so clean that there will be no sorcerers there. No sorcerers. Now, we have a tendency to look at that and confine that to fairy tales. That's not fairy tale. That's devilish things, all right? We're talking about people that deal with familiar spirits, witches, wizards, astrologers, those that engage in divination, all that kind of stuff. The Bible said not going to be there. Not going to be there. It's going to be a clean place. There'll be no idolaters. I mean, nobody's going to be worshiping at the feet of an idol. Nobody's going to do that. Sometimes I drive through neighborhoods and I'll see a house and they've got a statue out there in front of that house. Now, they'd tell you, we don't worship that. We venerate that. But, man, if you're not real careful, that veneration becomes worship. All right? And bowing down, there'll be no idolaters there. Oh, and the next thing. If this doesn't excite you, I don't know what could. There'll be no liars there. There'll be no lie. Won't it be nice to be in a place where you don't ever have to worry about anybody telling you a lie? Yeah, isn't that a wonderful thing? Just a wonderful idea. Nobody will lie to you. I guess some people say it means there'll be no used car salesman there. But I'm not going to go that far, okay? We're not going to be mean like that. Mrs. Wilson's husband, Brother Wilson, that's what he did. The last job he held, he did several things, but the last thing he did, he was a used car salesman, all right? And I wish he was here now and I could have said that because he'd have got a kick out of it. But there'll be no liars there, okay? There'll be no liars there. Hey, but that's not all. Look again, if you will, right there at the end of verse 8, and the Bible says, there's going to be nothing that defiles. Nothing that defiles. You stay with me, all right? There's nothing that defiles that'll be there anywhere at all. Nothing that defiles anything. It will not be there. That means all sins of the flesh not going to be there. Those are things that defile people, all right? It's going to be unique in its cleanliness. That's not all. It's going to be unique in its beauty. Unique in its beauty. We go to places and we think, oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I've been to some places and I thought, man, that's amazing. Just amazing. Have you ever seen pictures? I've never been to the, in Versailles. I'm not sure even how to say it, over in France, okay? There is a, man, I can't get the word out of my mouth. It's a, somebody help me out. It's a palace. Thank you, sir, palace at Versailles, okay? And, man, the pictures I've seen, it's gorgeous. It's unbelievable, man. There's gold and there's mirrors and all that swanky stuff, you know. It's beautiful. But it's not going to compare to the beauty that'll be there. You said, why you say that? Chapter 21, look at verse 11. And I saw verse 11, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. First of all, I want you to see the glory of God's there. The glory of God will be there. You said, what's that going to be like? You can only imagine. And we can't imagine, all right? But God's glory is going to shine forth in that place, and it's never been anywhere else, any place else. Oftentimes, old Moses, when he was on the mount with God, when he came down from the mount, the Bible said his face shone, and his face shone so much that he had to put a veil over it. The people couldn't look at it. All right? And that's what he got from the glory of God on him. okay? The glory of God. Now, the good thing about it, we'll be able to look upon it, all right? We'll be able to look upon it. We're not going to have to say, Lord, could you cover that up, all right? We're going to be able to enjoy that. The glory of God's going to be there. You talk about a beautiful place. And notice what John said. He said it was like unto. You ever tried to describe something you couldn't describe? You ever thought about what it'd be like to describe to a blind person what the Grand Canyon was like? You ever thought you could? I'd hate to have to describe that. Even to a person who's been blind all their life, try to explain to them what a rainbow looks like. All right? I think John was hampered. John was hampered by words. He didn't know enough. All right? He said, man, it was like this. That's the best I can do. All right? It was like this. He just couldn't describe it. It was amazing. But chapter 21, verse 18 says, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper. All right? And we read there in verse 3, it was even like jasper, a stone clear as crystal. A jasper stone so pure, clear as crystal, that's the uniqueness of it, all right? And it says, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. They tell me, not being an authority on gold, but they tell me that purer and purer gold gets, the clearer it gets, all right? And the purer and purer it gets, the softer it gets, all right? I remember listening to them tell kids in school about, you know, how many karat gold you want your class ring to be, and they would recommend don't go too many because the bigger it's softer it gets. Well, when it says pure gold and the Bible says, I'll wait till I get there, all right? It's later on, all right? That's it. The walls, the foundation of the walls are going to be inlaid with precious stones. Look in chapter 21, verse 19. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysosparas, the 11th, a hyacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. Hey, all of those different stones inlaid into the foundation of that wall around that city, all right? Now, if it's down here, somebody would have a crowbar trying to pry them out, all right? But don't have to worry about that there, all right? Just don't have to worry about it. Foundation's going to be inlaid. You talk about gorgeous, it's going to be beautiful, beautiful. Chapter 21, verse 21. The Bible said, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Gates of pearl. A pearl that big. Somebody said that really liked oysters. I'd like to have ate that oyster, right? I don't know. But that is a monstrous pearl. The gate, the size, one pearl, the gate of the city. Then the Bible says the street of gold, street of gold. I was talking about that pure gold. The purer it is, the softer it is. That means if you're walking down the street of pure gold, it'd be comfortable to walk on because it'll be soft, all right? It will be soft. Hey, I'm just telling you, you talk about a unique place. It's going to be unique in its cleanliness. It's going to be unique, obviously, in its holiness. It's going to be unique in its beauty, but it's also going to be unique in what's missing, all right? There's some things that are going to uniquely be missing. Chapter 21, look at verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. There be no light, no sun there, okay? No sun. Won't that be good not to step outside? Man, it's bright, you know. It'd be a good thing. There'll be no sun there. But wait a minute. The Bible also said there'll be no night. Verse 25, same chapter. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. No night there. Now, I know some lazy person will say, man, when are we going to sleep? It's always so bright, you won't be able to sleep. And I won't be able to do that. Well, wait a minute. I'd prefer to think of it this way.
That means no night. That means there'll be no them long nights where you're walking the floor, hoping and praying for the dawn. Ever spent some nights like that? Been through some nights like that? Been through some times like that where, boy, you thought the day would never come. You were hoping, you were praying for the dawn to get there because it just seems like things were better. Well, the Bible said there'll be no night there, all right? No night there. That's not all. Chapter 21, verse 4, all right? Back up to verse 4. The Bible said, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Wait a minute. That doesn't mean there will be no tears in heaven. There will be tears in heaven, all right? I know the song says, no tears in heaven fair, but that's unscriptural right there, all right? There will be tears in heaven, but the Lord's going to wipe away. You say, what's not going to be there? No death. That's what it says there, and right after that, it says, there shall be no more death. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got a phone call Monday. I mean, school was just about getting started. There were kids everywhere and parents there, you know, and parents were crying. The kids were saying, go home, Mom, go home, you know. But the phone rang and I picked it up and I heard a voice that I recognized from years ago, and she told me, she said, I just found out my son died. My son died 43 years old. I remember when he was born, okay? Hey, there'll be no death there. Oh, that'll be a wonderful thing. But notice what else it says there in verse 4, neither sorrow. Ah, there'll be no sorrow there. Isn't that marvelous? Just to think, there won't be anything to be sorrowful about. You won't have anything that'll upset you. Okay, no sorrow there. Neither shall there be any crying. No crying there. Won't that be good? Now, the Lord's going to have to wipe away those tears, but after He does, won't be any crying there. All right, won't be any crying there. Now, what that means is, when I want to shout today, I cry. Now, I can't explain to you. That's the way I am. But if you ever see me up on the platform and I'm weeping, you don't wonder, well, what bad news did he get? No, that's just me wanting to go, woohoo! All right? But, man, the Lord just puts it on me and I weep, all right? Well, there'll be no crying there. I'll be able to shout, all right? But another good thing, there'll be no pain. No pain. Don't some of you like the way that sounds? Yeah. Boy, that'll be a blessing. No pain. I don't even know anything else to say about that except thank God, all right? And look at chapter 21, back up to verse 3, would you? Verse 3, and the Bible said, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be their God. I'm in the wrong chapter. Maybe it's chapter 22. Yep, chapter 22, not chapter 21. All right? Chapter 22, verse 3. The Bible said, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. No curse. Hey, that curse came on this earth because of Adam's sin. All right? That curse is going to be completely lifted. Completely lifted. Now, it's going to be worked on during the millennium, all right? But it's not going to be completely lifted until that day because there will be no sin there, no sin there. The truth of the matter is a sinner would never be happy. An unregenerate sinner would never be happy in God's holy. It just wouldn't be. What would there be for him to do? I mean, there's nothing there, nothing to defile, nothing abominable, all right? I mean, you just go on and on. It's not there, and you talk about unhappy camper, he'd be unhappy, all right? You consider that guy. Did you ever have somebody that you knew growing up that was always trying to get you to do wrong? Maybe some kid in school, you know? And they come on, say, hey, come on, let's do this. No, go on, leave me alone. Now, they could look and eventually find somebody to go with them, right? But can you imagine you being there, an unregenerate sinner was there, he couldn't find anybody to go with him. You talk about frustrated? Man, he'd be frustrated. Just absolute frustration. But not going to be any sin there. No, just not going to be. One other thing I want you to see, chapter 21, verse 22, the Bible says here, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Hey, there was a temple in the Old Testament. It was the follower of the tabernacle. There was a temple there. Now, we don't really have a temple here, but we have a church building. But the truth of the matter is the temple today of God is you and me, all right? Because the Bible said the Holy Spirit of God lives in us, all right? So we are that temple of God. That's what Paul wrote in Corinthians, said you're the temple of God, all right? And so we're that temple. But we come to that day, there's not going to be any temple at all right? There's not going to be a building that satisfies that. And it's not going to be us in our body, because we're not going to have a body like we do now. It's going to be a glorified body like the body of God. So there'll be no temple, no, because in that day, God's going to be there. The Lamb's going to be there. That's going to be the temple, all right? You say, well, where are we going to worship? Right there with them, all right? Right there with them. That's where it'll be, all right? What else is going to be? It's going to be an eternal place. An eternal place. So it's going to last forever, all right? Last forever. Now just think about it. Never again will Satan be loosed to work his evil deeds. Never again. Never be able to do that. Never again will sin ever rear its ugly head, all right? Never again. I just want to tell you something. There's nothing that'll ever spoil that place. Nothing will ever spoil that place. It's going to be an eternal place. Let me just wind up with this, all right? It's a roomy place. It's a roomy place, all right? There's plenty of room. We talked just a little bit about the size, but the only thing we talked about was the size of the city itself. I didn't mention it when I was talking about it, but New Jerusalem being, 1,242 miles long and wide and high, if you had a box that big, just so you'd know how big it is, you could put the moon in it. All right, that's how big it is, bigger than the moon. Now, that's just one city. All right, just one city, but there's a new heaven and a new earth. And I don't believe in that day. I'm going to take a stab out there. Everybody wants interplanetary travel. You'll be able to do it then, okay? You'll be able to do it then. There won't be anything to mar it, the beauty. And I'm kind of counting on the Lord letting me just visit the New Jerusalem every now and then, but let me find a place of wilderness to live, all right? It's going to be a roomy place. No danger of overcrowding. No danger of overcrowding. That means it's room for you and for me, and there's room for everybody that we can possibly reach for the gospel. Man, don't just think about the new heaven and the new earth and think about it in the sense of how wonderful it's going to be just for you, all right? But think about, hey, it's room there for everybody. We'll do everything we can to get everybody we can there. We try to get people to visit. I try to get you to invite people to come to church. I try to get folks in the church to do everything we can. Come go on Thursday night or Saturday or whenever you can go. And we try to encourage people to be involved in that. We support missionaries. We give to missions. Why? To get the gospel out. Why? Because it's a roomy place. There's no danger of overcrowding. We want everybody to go that we can. We'll do everything we can to reach everybody we can. That new Jerusalem, that new heaven, that new earth, not just for me and you. Not just for me and you. It's all the redeemed. All the redeemed. What a time it'll be. You talk about a reunion and a gathering.
That it'll be unlike anything that's ever been, all right? We'll meet with James and John and have a talk with them, and maybe then old Paul will let me visit him. We'll hear the saints of old, how they made it through. We'll sit 1,000 years with not a thing to do. Hey, that songwriter said, my gray-haired mom and dad, won't have a wrinkle there. There'll never be a shed a tear nor need to say a prayer. But best of all to me in that promised land would be to walk right up and shake the master's hand. All right? What a time. What a time. Listen, I'll tell you, we may get beat up in this old world, but we've got something to look forward to. We've got something to look forward to. You say, that's pie in the sky and the by and by. I'll take it. I'll take it. I'm enjoying it here, but I'm looking forward to that. Our Heavenly Father, would you help?